Galatians. Again, the Lord has had us there and trying to see all the things that we can glean from Paul's letter to the Galatians. We've already talked about the first few verses of the first chapter of Galatians. I want to take our reading lesson today. We'll finish out the first chapter of Galatians. We're going to start in the 11th verse. So the 11th verse of the first chapter of Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia starts out, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in past time in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." And we'll go ahead and end our reading there. I want to draw your attention back to the 11th and 12th verses where Paul writes, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And that's my thought this morning, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe that the Lord wants to set before us today. Now again, by way of background, we've already talked about the church at Galatia and how that the Judaizing teachers were coming along sometime, maybe 3, 4, 5 years after Paul had been there, and they were trying to teach the Galatians to add works unto their salvation. They weren't teaching them that you had to be circumcised to get saved. That issue had already been put to rest, but they were teaching them to add unto, to be further perfected. Yes, you've got salvation by faith alone, but to be further perfected in the gospel, to be further of service to God, to be truly on the highest level of sanctification, you have to add works. You have to subject yourself to the law of Moses. And of course, Paul realized that this was an assault against the gospel of faith that he was preaching. And so we talked already the last couple of weeks. We talked about Paul's setting forth of the true gospel and his taking note that there was no such thing as another gospel. That's what we talked about last week, that there is no other gospel. And then this new gospel that was being preached was not the same. It wasn't of the same kind as the gospel that he was preaching. And so he goes on now to address a particular argument that these teachers were making, and they were assaulting his apostleship. They were directly challenging his authority, saying all manner of things about him. Number one, that he wasn't a real apostle, not like Peter and John and the rest of them that accompanied with the Lord. That he didn't get his gospel firsthand like they did. They got that he got his teaching secondhand, and therefore his authority was second to the other apostles. And so Paul has got to deal with that because, again, he realizes right now that even under, and we're going to find out in later chapters as we move along, if the Lord gives us liberty, that even Barnabas and Peter had somewhat acquiesced to these teachers at least in their behavior. And so Paul realizes he's the only one right now that's standing firm on the gospel of faith plus nothing. And he alone, perhaps because of his intellect, his understanding of scriptures, many things about that were unique about Paul, perhaps he understood the consequences of this teaching better than some others. I don't believe that Peter and Barnabas were forsaking the gospel of faith. I just think that perhaps they didn't see as far as Paul did. They didn't see the consequences of giving in just a little bit here. Paul understood that the consequences were nothing less than the death of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he understands he's got to make a firm stand here, particularly because no one else is making that firm stand. And so he has to admit, now Paul didn't like to talk about himself. But others were assaulting his apostleship and his authority, and so he's got to address those things, particularly among the Galatians, whom he had preached to, and he had preached as an apostle, and he had preached to them with authority, and now others are challenging that, and so he's got to meet that challenge, and so that's what he is beginning to do here. Not only are they attacking his apostleship and his authority, but they're even making use of Paul's former status as a Pharisee and a persecutor of the church, and they're throwing that into his teeth, if you will. You can imagine what the arguments would be. People will use all manner of, probably on the one hand, some people are saying, well, Paul is so, he's so against the law of Moses because he used to be a fanatic for it. You know, there's nothing worse than the only thing worse than a non-smoker is a reformed smoker. You know what they've said, right? Somebody that's been involved in a vice and then they've turned from it. Boy, they want to evangelize everybody against it, right? And so that's what they were saying. Paul is so hateful towards what we're teaching because he's so hateful towards the law of Moses because he used to be a fanatic, and now he's just swung the other way and he's being unreasonable. He used to be unreasonable in one direction, and now he's unreasonable in the other direction. You can see how they would be making that argument about him. And then maybe others are making the argument, well, Paul's not, he's really not even a reformed Pharisee. He's teaching this because remember, the Pharisees didn't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. And so they're saying, really, it's his love of the Pharisees' religion that he's teaching the Gentiles grace by faith plus nothing. He doesn't want them to come under the law of Moses because he wants to keep a separation between Jews who keep the law and Gentiles who don't keep the law. Now, that's foolishness, but you can see how people would make that argument, and they can spin that around. And so even the very facts of Paul's former way of life as a Pharisee and a persecutor of the church, people are taking that and twisting it and trying to use it as an argument against him. So again, he's got to address these issues. And so that brings us into the body of the text. And I want to go somewhat quickly through all of this because I want to talk about, at least briefly, about all that's in here in the text that we read. But then I want to come back and really hone in on our main point, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But Paul says, I certify you, brother. And now that's as close as Paul comes if you read some of his other letters and where he has to make defense of himself in Corinthians and some in Romans. When he says, I certify you, that's as close as he comes to taking an oath, if you will. He says, now I certify, I testify, this is assuredly true. So that's kind of Paul's language, which comes very close to taking an oath. Now he didn't take it. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, don't take oaths. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. We all have all heard that. So Paul didn't take oaths as Jews were wont to do, but he comes very close in his language here. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I did not get my gospel from other men. That's what he's saying. I didn't. That's what other people were saying, but that's not what happened. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I got my gospel straight from Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to come back and talk about this in more detail, but I want us to understand he is meeting this challenge straight on. I testify that I didn't get what I preached to you. I didn't get secondhand from some other man. Rather, I got it by the revelation of Jesus Christ directly to me. For ye have heard, and here he even says, now understand this. I want you to understand how he's laying this out. He says, I didn't get this from other men. I wasn't taught this from other men. I got this from Jesus Christ. My example, how do I prove that to you? You've heard of my former way, and so now he meets that challenge. He said, you've heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how beyond measure I persecuted. Yes, you've heard how I persecuted the church. And I was zealous beyond measure. I exceeded my other brethren. I exceeded other Pharisees in my zealousness for the law. To the point that I persecuted the church. I was more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But now, the question hanging there is, what man could have convinced him to forsake that? He was so zealous. He was more zealous than other men. As a man that's that zealous for the religion of his fathers, what man could convince him to forsake all that? Paul says, no man could convince me to forsake that. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, he acknowledges all of our reliance and our dependence upon God as the all-wise and the all-knower. God is the one who moves all the pieces. He's sovereign in the universe. He's sovereign in our lives. And Paul understood, and he is certifying here, that God is sovereign in his life. He said, but God, the same one that separated me from my mother's womb, the same one whose hand has been upon me my entire life, when it pleased him, he called me by his grace, his unmerited favor. I did nothing to deserve this calling of God, but when it pleased him, when it pleased God, he called me by his grace. And what did he do? He revealed his son in me. He said, God revealed Jesus Christ to me, because only God himself could have separated me from my former manner of life. Only God could have changed my zealousness towards my father's religion that was manifest in persecuting the church and all the things that I did. No man could have convinced me. Peter didn't convince me otherwise. John didn't convince me. James, none of them convinced me different. It was God himself who convinced me, revealing Jesus Christ in me. And then he told me that I might preach him, Jesus Christ, among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Boy, there's probably several sermons right there. I love that. He says, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul said, I didn't go and talk it over with someone else. I didn't go get somebody else's opinion. I didn't go to sit at someone else's feet and learn. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I'll tell you what, we need more followers of God today that are willing to go immediately and not confer with flesh and blood. Now, I don't want to discount, and I'll get into this more later if the Lord gives us liberty, but I don't want to discount the importance of learning from our elders, of getting advice from Christians that have walked down the way, some before us. But I'm telling you, John said in another place that you have no need of me to tell you things. said, you can learn of the Spirit. We need to be relying upon this Word and the Spirit of God to direct our actions, not on other people. And Paul said, I didn't rely on anybody. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't go try to get my doctrine, bounce ideas off of other people. Immediately conferring not with flesh and blood. Neither went I to Jerusalem. I didn't go up to the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. He said, God called me. Nobody else called me. God called me when it pleased Him. He revealed His Son in me. He told me I was going to preach Him among the Gentiles, and I didn't confer with any flesh and blood, and I didn't go up to Jerusalem, and I didn't talk to the apostles. What did I do? I went straight to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I spent 3 years alone with the Lord. That's what Paul did. He spent 3 years alone with the Lord. That's where he got his gospel. 3 years I went up to Jerusalem. After 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And I abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. See, he said, now this charge that I got my gospel from someone else, that other men taught me and I got it secondhand, where does it come from? Because God separated me on the road to Damascus. I didn't confer with anyone else. I didn't go up to Jerusalem. I went as far away from all the brethren as I could. I went to Damascus and I lived in Asia for 3 years. Then after 3 years, yes, I did go to Jerusalem, but I talked to Peter and I saw James, the Lord's brother, but I didn't talk to anybody else. And I was only there 15 days. I mean, how much did they influence me in 15 days? He said, I didn't see any of the rest of them, just those two. But of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. He said, so now the things which I write to you, behold, before God, I lie not. He said, this is the truth. This is exactly what happened. Afterwards, so I left Jerusalem. Then I came into Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Now he's getting to the point. He said, all these people that are speaking against me, they don't even know what I look like. I left there. I was in Jerusalem for 15 days. I met with Peter. I met with James. Probably saw some other people. Nobody of too much big of importance. And then I was gone. I was out in Gentile lands preaching. All those other churches in Judea, they don't even know my face. They wouldn't recognize me if they saw me. Said all they heard of was my reputation. What they heard was that the man who used to persecute the church was now preaching God and Jesus Christ unto the Gentiles. And it said, and they glorified the Lord in what I was doing. So that's what they know about me. So all these people that are talking against me, most of them couldn't even pick me out of a crowd, is what he's saying. And they glorified God in me. So Paul makes his defense very clear here to these Galatians. Now I want to go back and pick up with our thought of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not received from men. The gospel is not received from men. That's what Paul said. He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto me is not after man. I did not receive my gospel from men. And I've already explained to you, he got his gospel directly from Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ that appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. It was Jesus Christ in his glorified and resurrected body that spoke to Paul. It was Jesus Christ that told him that he was going to go and preach him, Jesus, to Gentiles and even unto kings. And it was Jesus Christ who taught him for those 3 years that he was in Asia. That's where he got his gospel from, not from men. And I want us to understand that today we do not get our gospel from men. Now I need to qualify that a little bit. But we do not get our gospel from men. We get it from God. It's not a birthright. Paul said that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He thought that he got something from God, and that he got knowledge and understanding from God because of his birthright, and yet he didn't recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Rather, he persecuted him. Listen, his birthright, everything that he got by being a Jew, and Paul says in another place that, well then, if there's no difference, he asks rhetorically, if there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, if all have to be saved by faith, then what profiteth the law? Or what profiteth the Jews? And he said, much in every way. He said, unto the Jews were entrusted the oracles of God. And so there was much benefit in Paul's upbringing and in his teaching. But listen, he didn't get the gospel from that. It wasn't a birthright. It wasn't a birthright then unto the Jews. Every Jew had to come and bow down and cry out to God and recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They didn't like that. It's the same today. It's not a birthright. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and it didn't get him one step closer to heaven. And I'm telling you today, there's no such thing as being a Baptist of Baptists. It doesn't matter who your daddy was or your granddaddy. It doesn't matter how many generations that your lineage in Christ may go back. It may go back generations. I hope that it does. But that will profit you nothing unless you get the gospel from Jesus Christ Himself. It's not a birthright. It's not a birthright because God is no respecter of persons. Everyone has to come the same way, just like Paul did, just like all of those other Jews that did it. It was because of the ones that refused that, they wouldn't give up this idea of having a birthright, of that somehow being a Jew got them closer to God. I'm telling you that being raised in a Baptist church, being raised here in the truth, there's a great profit to it because you've been instructed in ways that the world has not been instructed in. You've been shown examples of how to live and how to follow after God, but I'm telling you, it didn't get you one step closer to heaven because you still got to come to the foot of the cross and you still got to cry out, you still got to humble yourself, and you still got to believe upon the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not received of men as a birthright, it's not received by instruction. Now, I don't want to discount the value of good instruction, but we cannot instruct someone into the gospel. Listen, there's plenty of Christian denominations out there that teach that you can get the gospel in your heart, that you can know Jesus Christ, that you can know God, that you can get to heaven through instruction. And they'll take children and they'll bring them in and they'll sprinkle them or they'll baptize them. And then they'll begin instructing them very rigorously all the way through. And they'll teach them that if you have been instructed properly all the way through and you assent that you believe this and you believe this and you believe this, then you've got the gospel. You've got Jesus Christ. And that's all that there is to it. Now, we don't believe that. We don't believe that. You cannot be instructed. You can come here and you can hear. You can come to church and you can hear the finest gospel preaching from the time that you are old enough to understand the words coming forth from the pulpit all the way until the day you die. You can come on Wednesday night and you can sit in Bible studies given by godly men. You can learn Hebrew. You can learn Greek. You can get all of that. You can get instructed up till your eyeballs. And it won't give you the gospel. There's plenty of people out there that are better educated in theology, in languages, in all kinds of things than I am. And I read, that's why I read after people. And other commentators, and I don't, some of them may be saved, some of them may not. I'm not looking for their salvation experience. I know what that is. I'm looking for their knowledge that they have. But I understand that they might have knowledge and instruction, but if they don't have something in their heart imparted unto them by God, they don't have the gospel. You cannot be instructed. It's not, the gospel is not of men because it cannot be instructed and passed from man to man through instruction. Now, again, I said I didn't want to discount instruction because the church was given the commission to go forth and make disciples. And a part of that is instruction. But listen, instruction will only take a person so far. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that there's a fundamental need that we instruct in this world, that part of presenting the gospel is instructing, but that's not going to get anybody saved. That alone will not save anyone. What that will lead to is what we've got so-called churches full of out there, which is a bloodless gospel, where they'll take the divine instruction and they'll lay that down and they'll wipe away the blood on the other side and say, as long as you've got this instruction, you'll be fine. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what this scripture teaches. You cannot grasp hold of the gospel simply through instruction. And we know, we've seen, I'm sure many of you that are older than me have seen in your lifetime, people come in that have not had much instruction in the way of God at all. They don't hardly know up from down. Couldn't tell you the difference between Genesis and Revelation. And they've fallen under the preaching of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit has gotten hold of them. And they have fallen down on their knees. And they have found the gospel given to them by God right there, without much real instruction at all. Now, some instruction on the back end of that is going to be necessary for them to go out and live productive Christian lives. But I want you to understand that instruction will not get you the gospel, because it's not of men. It doesn't come by men. It doesn't get passed along to us by the works and the efforts of men. And I want to be careful as I say this. Hear me and hear me out. And I mean that includes churches. Churches don't get people saved. Now, I don't discount, and I love the Lord's church, but we need to keep it in its perspective. The church does not save people. The church does not impart the gospel. The church is a vehicle through which the gospel moves along, but what the church does is introduce people to God. They introduce people to Jesus Christ. That's where the gospel comes from. It doesn't come from men, and it doesn't come from churches. And what I mean by that is that I don't know, it's not in fashion too much these days, but there have been times that it's been in fashion among Baptists to try to trace our lineage all the way back to the shores of the Jordan River. And it just cannot be done. The historical record does not exist. You can go, well, I was baptized by so-and-so, and he was baptized by so-and-so, and you can trace that, but the best records, you will run into a stop somewhere. We can trace Mount Calvary Church to the church that it came from, and then the church that church came from, but you go back so far, and you will run into a blank page, and you cannot show apostolic succession of any missionary Baptist church. You cannot show an unbroken chain of baptismal authority from John the Baptist down to any preacher today. It just cannot be done. Now, does it exist? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But I would think if it was that important, God would have left us the records for it, wouldn't He? We'd be able to dig it out somewhere, but we can't. Now, I'm not discounting that I believe that we preach and teach the same things that the apostles did. But my point is that the gospel doesn't come down to us by the purity of our lineage of churches. By the purity, and it doesn't come to us by men. Listen, there's great brethren that have taught in the past and continue to teach. And I'm sure that each one of you has somebody that was important to you along the way that preached the gospel to you. And we hold those men and women in high regard. But listen, we didn't get the gospel from them. They might have helped point us along the way, but we didn't get the gospel from them. And they're fallible, and we don't need to set them up as something that they're not. And if they were here today, you and I know very well, they would not want us setting them up on some level. But we have a tendency to do that. The gospel doesn't come to us through men or women or churches or apostolic succession or baptismal succession or any of those things. The gospel comes to us through the Holy Spirit, making it real in our hearts. You all have heard me say that before, but I want to say it again. Just like Paul said, I didn't get this gospel from men. I was against it. And Jesus Christ came down there on the road to Damascus, and in His very person, He convinced me of it. Well, I didn't see a bright light, and I didn't fall off of a horse on the road, and I didn't see the risen Savior speaking to me. But I'm telling you, the things that I was taught, and I surely believed in my mind, they became real to me when Jesus Christ gave me the gospel the night that I got saved. And see, that's why I can stand here, and I can say, and anybody that's been saved ought to be able to say, I know that this is true. I know that Jesus Christ lives in my heart, not because that's what was taught to me, not because that's what the church that I go to teaches, not because that's what my daddy told me or anything else. I know it's true because Jesus Christ made it real to me through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's how I got the gospel. Same way Paul did. It might not have been as dramatic as Paul's, but it was to me. And if you've been saved, it was to you. You had a road to Damascus experience too, where the gospel came to you from God. Again, the truth was planted, and that's where the instruction comes in, and the church, and the responsibility that we have as God's people. But it's not real. It's not real. It won't convince anyone. Just like I've said before, I can't convince you of sin. I can't convince you of your need of salvation. I can't convince you to reach out to Jesus Christ with all that you are and believe upon Him to the salvation of your soul. But I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit can and will. And if the Holy Spirit's never made it real to you, you ain't got the gospel. You got something secondhand. You got something passed down. Something, a birthright. That's not it. That's not enough. The gospel is not of men. Just like Paul said, it's not of men. It's of God. And it's as true today as it was in Jesus Christ's time. And I'm telling you, that's what we need to continue to stand on. And we need to continue to preach. And we need to continue to try to get people to understand that all the instruction, all the everything in the world, as good as it is, just like all the instruction from the Old Testament that the Jews had, it was good. But it was not sufficient. It wasn't sufficient for Paul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. It wasn't sufficient for him. But he got the real gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of reconciliation. He got that on the road to Damascus. And he got it direct from Jesus. And I got it in the basement of a little church house in West Virginia in 1986. And I got it directly from God. And that's why nobody will ever talk me out of my salvation. And if you really got the same thing I've got, nobody will ever talk you out of yours, because you got it from God. You didn't get it any other way. The gospel is not received of men. The doctrine of sin. And that came real to me that night. I mean, I'd heard all about sin. I believed about sin. But I'm telling you, when I saw myself the way that God saw me, when I saw the blackness of my own sin nature, I saw the helplessness that I had against sin, the helplessness that I had against my own depravity. I'll tell you, the doctrine of sin became real to me, and it was Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that did that. The doctrine of the peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. I heard that preached as long back as I can remember, but it wasn't real to me until I touched the blood. That's when the gospel really got into my heart. That's when I came to understand that. And I'll tell you today, if you've been saved, the progressive revelation of truth still comes the same way. It comes directly from God. Now, He uses different agencies for that. I believe that He uses God-called preachers to preach the gospel. He gives you the ability to read the scriptures yourself and meditate upon those. He's given us many helps. I love to read commentaries. I know there's some preachers that don't cotton to that at all. But listen, if I've ever thought anything that was worth sharing with anybody, then why wouldn't I think that somebody else that's godly has thought some things and maybe written them down that are worth sharing with somebody else? That don't make them true because they wrote them down, but if they've had some thoughts, then maybe I can benefit from that with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so God uses many different ways to impress the truth upon us, but ultimately, you're not going to, at least I hope you don't grab a hold of something that's true just because I said it. Now, if I said it, it's because I believe it's true, but it's got to be true to you. The Holy Spirit's got to work it into your heart. And then it'll be something that you hold on to. See, if you get, just like the gospel of our salvation. If we got it from a man could shake us from it. But when you get it from God, there's no power in heaven or earth that can shake it from you. If God gave it to you, and the truth, the progressive revelation of truth is that way. You know, I've often just don't understand why that, you know, God just doesn't reveal all the things to me that I want to know. Why do I have to keep going through this and keep, I just want to know the truth, Lord, I really just do. But I also understand that God's got to make it real. And I have my own limitations. I'm quite sure of it. I'm quite sure of it. See, I believe that God reveals to us as much truth as we can swallow and hold on to. Not all of us can swallow the same amount of truth and hold on to it. So God doesn't burden us with that. But listen, when you get hold of a truth out of the Scripture, and you know, I've heard Brother Colin say many times in Sunday school, and you know, we will read a passage of Scripture, and he'll say, you know, I've wrestled with this Scripture for years and years. And see, the thing is, I know that Brother Cole has been in church for years and years, and I know that those passages of Scripture, he's had them preached, and he's heard what many a preacher has had to say about that. But see, until God has impressed it upon him, he said, I just wrestled with that. Until the truth becomes real from God, and see, then that's something that you can hold on to. And I know many of you others have done the same thing, is we can hear it preached on and preached on and preached on, and that'll help us. But what we're really looking for, again, if you got your truth just for me because I said it, somebody else that's got a slicker tongue than me will be able to shake you from it. But I'll tell you, if you get it from God, nobody will shake you from it. The truth is a progressive revelation, not from men, but from God. Now, also, he says that this gospel was not preached to me after men. So it doesn't, it's not received from men. But you know, in the Greek, the way that that's phrased is not after men. It could be translated two different ways. It could be translated the way that I have already presented it. It's not received from men. And it could also be translated that it is not conceived of by man, or it does not originate from man. You see the slight difference there. It's not received from men. I didn't receive my gospel from men. Paul didn't. I didn't. I hope you didn't. But the gospel that I believe in, neither was it conceived of by men. It was conceived in the mind of God. It's important to understand that the gospel is not the gospel. Men did not come up with this. See, there's many out there that preach and teach that, you know, the gospel is just one way of many. It's just one way of many. Because they do not understand that the gospel was not conceived of by men. They still look at Jesus Christ as a man. They still look at the apostles as mere men. And they were men, but they were men inspired in ways that you and I are not. And so they do not believe that the gospel is conceived of by God. And they'll say, well, it's a way. It's one way of many. Listen, the gospel was not conceived of by men. It's not one way of many. It's the only way. By the name of Jesus, there's no other name under heaven whereby men may be saved. That's what the Scripture says. The gospel is not one among many ways. It's the only way. And we know that to be true. Anybody that's got an ounce of spirituality knows that to be true, because this word, the gospel, the words given to us by God Himself, stand so far above anything else that they can't even be compared. Now, I've not read every holy book out there, but I have dipped into many of the holy books of other religions. I've read some fairly considerable portions of the Quran. And it doesn't hold a candle. It doesn't hold a candle. Anyone that has got an ounce of spirituality about them that knows the Lord, could you read the best passages from the Quran and you lay them down to the Bible and it's clear they're not even in the same universe because the inspired Word of God stands so far above it. I've read some of the Hindu holy books. Same thing. Oh, there might be a good idea here and there, but it does not stand anywhere close to the sublime beauty that is contained in God's Scripture. There's nothing that rises to the level of the gospel. You know, I thought many years ago I wanted to get a hold of what some of those second generation Christians wrote. What did the people that lived right after the gospel writers, what did they write? Well, you can go out there and you read them. I've got books on my shelf, the Ante-Nicene Fathers. I got 10 volumes, books like this, and I ain't read all of them, but I've read some portions of what those early church leaders that lived, just some of them overlapped with some of the apostles. They went on and continued for the next generation and two after the apostles. They were writing in the very early 100s into the middle and early 200s AD. And I said, I want to, you know, it was before the Catholic Church got on the scene and perverted things in the way that they perverted them. I said, I want to read what those men have to say. And I've read some of the what's purported as their best writings, and it's good. But it's clearly the writing of uninspired men. It's clearly the writing of men that are on the same level as me. It doesn't even approach to the writings, the inspired writings of Paul or of Peter or of James. I mean, it's very clear when you read it that these men, as good as and holy as they were, they're just recycling what the apostles, what the inspired men of God had already said, and they can't hold a candle, and they don't purport to hold a candle to them. There's nothing that reaches to the level of the Word of God. And I'm talking about what we can objectively know. If you just lay them down side by side and read them, nothing reaches to this level. I've read what passes for the wisdom of men. And I, you know, now some of it I'll admit maybe I just can't understand. But I've read at least portions of the greatest philosophers as they talk about great philosophers. Many of the Greek philosophers, the 17th century philosophers in France and Germany, and all the ones that the world holds up to be these great wise men. I've read many of them, most of them, I've read at least some of what they've written. And most of it is just garbled nonsense, quite honestly. There's some gems of thought in there, but none of it rises to the sublime arguments that Paul makes in Romans about sin, about faith, about the way unto God. It just doesn't even come close. The greatest wisdom of men doesn't even come close to what God has left for us. Now, if the gospel was of men and conceived of by men, you would think that other wise men in other places would have thought of some of the same things. You know that wise men all over the world in different cultures tend to travel in the same intellectual plane, right? It's very rare that some culture had a thought that some other culture didn't have somewhere else in time. They're wise men thinking of the same thing. There's nothing that approaches close to the gospel of grace. Nobody else conceived of it. The Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the ancient Chinese, the ancient Indian civilizations, all of the great civilizations of the world, none of them come close to conceiving of the gospel of grace, whereby men can be saved by the propitiating blood of God Himself. Now that's sublime. Only God could come up with that gospel. Men couldn't do it. It's not conceived of by men. We know it's not conceived of by men also because it's opposed to human pride, isn't it? What man would conceive of a gospel that makes men so low and so mean and so unredeemable that they couldn't do anything on their own? That's what the true gospel is, isn't it? The true gospel is an affront to every bit of human pride. What man would have come up with that? None. Only God Himself would come up with that because it's the truth. God Himself has laid bare the truth of the human heart, of the human condition. And that's the heart of the gospel, is that we are unredeemable, save for the blood of Jesus Christ. That we are unsavable, saved by the grace, the unmerited favor of God. That sin has so blackened us that everything that we touch turns to ashes if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. No man would conceive of that, because it diminishes man to nothing and lifts God up to be everything, right where He belongs. The gospel's no respecter of persons. Well, this is what the Jews disliked about it, is it made them on the same level as the Gentiles. And I'm telling you, there's people that don't like it today. They don't like that the gospel of Jesus Christ goes out, and it doesn't matter if you're poor, if you're wretched, if you're unlearned, unwise, vulgar in the things of the world, the gospel goes out to them the same as it does to you. And the requirements for them are the same requirements for us. Faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel's no respecter of persons. No man would come up with that, because men love to categorize themselves. Men love to set up systems where some stand above the others. We know that. What man would come up with a system that levels kings and beggars, the wisest and the most foolish, to the same level? We all stand in need of the blood of Jesus Christ. No man came up with that. God alone is the author of the gospel. And if that's not enough, well, the gospel's hated by men. It is, isn't it? It was hated in Jesus. Well, it was hated before that. It was hated in the days of the prophets, when they were coming down and telling Israel, repent, 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 and turn back to your God. They hated it then. When Jesus brought the gospel to them, they hated it so much that they found they created lies to kill Him. They hated it when they persecuted the first generation church. Paul hated it as a Pharisee when he heard it preached. It's hated of men. What man would come up with such a detestable idea that all men everywhere seem to hate when it gets right down to it? No man came up with that. It's hated because it's the truth. It's the truth because God conceived of it. God conceived of the gospel. And so, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. It's the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. If you've been saved, it's been revealed unto you by Jesus Christ. And you can take assurance that the things that are written in this book are the holy words of God. There's no other words that have ever been written by any supposedly holy man, any religion, any wise men. Nothing in existence today rises to the level of what this book contains, the truth of the gospel that's contained in this. And if you've had the gospel revealed to you by Jesus Christ, you can stand on that. Because it was not delivered unto us by men. It was delivered unto us, just like it was to Paul, by Jesus Christ Himself. And it was not conceived of by men. The apostles didn't conceive of it. Paul didn't conceive of it. All these men that were railing against Paul, saying that he was preaching a different gospel, Paul is saying, listen, it's not my gospel anyway. And it's not Peter's gospel anyway. And I'll tell you today, it's not my gospel. It's not Mount Calvary's gospel. It's not any other. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, revealed by Jesus Christ and conceived of by God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. It's His gospel. It's His gospel. That's what we believe in. That's what we believe in today. So, to bring this to a close, we need to continue to receive the gospel by faith. That's how we receive it. That's how we continue to receive progressive truth, is by faith. By faith in the author of this book. By the faith in the author of the one who has given us peace in our hearts. By faith in the author of the beautiful gospel of peace. That is God the Father and Jesus Christ. And if we do that, if we stand on the gospel by faith, we can expect opposition. We expect opposition from the world. But I'll tell you what, and when I read this, as I was reading, again, what different people had to say, one commentator said this, and it really hit home. See, this sometimes you read something and it's, God just tells you, yeah, that's true. That's true right there. You know where we get the greatest opposition to the gospel of grace from? Ourselves. See, because we still, and I'm not talking about our intellectual assent to it. I'm talking about how many of us live out day by day, moment by moment, the gospel of grace in our lives the way that we want to. Do we live by faith moment by moment? Do we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ moment by moment? Do we have a full understanding that there is no righteousness in us, not one ounce? I don't care if you've been saved for a year or 50 years, you've got no righteousness, no ability to resist sin except the power of Jesus Christ that lives within us. That's the gospel I'm talking about, the truth. We all assent to that mentally, I hope, but do we live that way day by day? I don't. Why? Not because I don't want to, but because my carnal mind rejects it, doesn't it? And yours does too. Because the carnal mind is enmity. Is it enmity with God? It cannot subject itself to the things of God. And we still have this old man that we have to deal with. And I've preached about crucifying him daily. But the biggest opposition to truly living the gospel life comes from ourselves, our own inner struggle that Paul talks about in the 7th chapter of Romans. So there will be opposition. But we must preach. This is another important thing. We must preach and we must witness the truth of the gospel. But we have to ever realize that it's God that makes the gospel real to every sinner, just like he did to us. And at the end of the day, we shouldn't want it to be any other way. So we preach and we teach and we witness and we stand as a light in this community and we try to get the gospel out and we witness to our friends and we talk to our family and we pray for our children and our grandchildren, and we should continue to do all those things. But at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit that will deliver the truth of the gospel to their heart. And only the Holy Spirit, just like He did for me, just like He did for you. And that's the sovereign work of God. We just can't enter into there. We do our part, and we have a part to play, but the gospel is ultimately delivered to every soul by God Himself. And we wouldn't want it and shouldn't want it any other way. The truth will be revealed by God. And so, as we close and think about the revelation of Jesus Christ and what He has revealed to each one of us, let us rest peacefully in the truth of the gospel. Let us rest peacefully in the work of Jesus Christ. And let us rest peacefully in the knowledge that God has made all things true to us. And we can hold on to that from here till we reach the other side. Brother Dyer, if we can get a song.